Just as long as I have breath, I must answer yes to life. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? It's what we're aiming for, to live our lives fully and well while we're here. And it's easier said than done, of course. As Thoreau said, to live deliberately, to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. There will come a day when we will be gone from this life. Each of us is going to die. That's a fact. The question is, what are we going to do with this knowledge? How are we going to live in the face of our own mortality? You know, we live in a culture that likes to deny death, that tries to pretend that death is a problem that can be fixed, or at least postponed to another day. Thankfully, this does seem to be changing, because I believe that to the extent that you can come to terms with death, can accept the reality of your own mortality, the greater will be your capacity to love others and live fully your life while you're here. Tell them I said yes to life. Who among us doesn't want to get to the end and not be able to say that? At this time of year, I remember words that a young friend of ours once said to her mother. Struck by the beauty of autumn, this child asked, "Why are things so beautiful before they die?" Sometimes death can be beautiful and peaceful and a blessing, and sometimes it's not. The UU minister, Forrest Church, who died of cancer at age 61, he said, "Death is central to my definition of religion. Religion is our human response to the dual reality of being alive and having to die." I joked once that joining this church, you get a free funeral. No one yet has told me that they came here for that free funeral. I'm still waiting for that. But isn't there something deep inside? Maybe even it's what brought you here. This sense, not always named, not always acknowledged, but that has something to do with this dual reality of being alive and having to die. I imagine that many of you understood on some level, even if not articulated, that this community and others like it are places where you can talk about death and where people show up when folks die, where we practice facing death head on. And that's the invitation, especially in these days of fading light, in this month that brings, at the end of the month and the start of November, those holy days from a variety of faith traditions that invite us to draw closer to death, that say the veil is thinner at this time of year between this world and the spirit world, that invite us to become more familiar with death, and to wonder, What are we afraid of? Is it that we ourselves are afraid to die? Is it that we are afraid of losing those that we love and the grief that will follow? Maybe it's all of those things. And yes, these are fearsome things. Standing at the grave, death seems so final, doesn't it? But that's not the whole story. Death can also offer unexpected gifts. Facing your own mortality makes you more aware, doesn't it, of the beauty and blessing and the gift that is this life. Death puts things in perspective. It clarifies what's really important and what's trivial. Death can open us up to one another and to that love which holds us when it seems that all else has fallen away. You know how important it is to show up for others, particularly when they are hurting or in trouble. You know how important these human connections are. Julia Kasdorf wrote a lovely poem about this called What I Learned from My Mother. It's about showing up when someone dies, and the lines that always get me are these two. I learned that whatever we say means nothing. What anyone will remember is that we came. You know how to do this already. How to be present and helpful to those in need along this horizontal dimension of life. I see you doing that so well here. And I wonder about the vertical dimension. What about the world beyond this one? What about God? Don't you wonder about these things that people have wondered about since the beginning of time? The great theologian of the 20th century, Karl Barth, he wondered about them too. And he asked, is it true? Is it true this sense of a unity in diversity, of a stationary pole amid changing appearances, of a righteousness not somewhere beyond the stars, but in the events which are present in our life? Is it true, this talk of a loving and good God? Down through the ages, people have turned toward a divine source and have called it by many names, like Yahweh, Allah, Jehovah, Brahman, Shangdi, Goddess, Lord, Great Spirit. Religion has provided answers to that question, what happens when we die? And at least since the age of enlightenment, people have asked, is it true? Is it true? Each Sunday, we say, love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. We affirm that seeking after truth is a holy act. You know, it used to be that people mostly accepted the teachings of their religion without question. And at least some people still do. I'm not suggesting that to you all. They're the ones that I see sometimes with a bumper sticker on their car. It says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You seen that bumper sticker? And I think maybe it's nice to live with such unthinking certainty, but I don't know how that's even possible. Because a healthy and life-giving faith is one that makes room for and encourages doubt and questions. But this doesn't mean you have to throw out all that ancient wisdom. The invitation is to work with it, to interpret it, to wrestle with it, to learn how to translate it for these days. Some of you did a version of that last Sunday after church when you gathered with Claire to reflect on death. Some of you will start doing that this week as you gather in our small group ministry groups. And I hope you know this is not an academic exercise I'm talking about. It's on-the-ground theology done from the midst of our lives and from the messes of our lives, working out beliefs and practices that will sustain us through the hard times, that will even help us find hope and joy. I'm someone who spends a fair amount of time in the presence of death. There's nothing more important in my ministry than being with those who are dying and helping people to mourn that loss and helping them celebrate the life that has ended. I've seen how death can bring people together, can help people to let down their guard and open their hearts and draw closer to one another. I've also seen how the pain and heartbreak of death can cause people to close themselves off, to feel separated from life and love. Being around death has, like nothing else, formed and tried my faith. And it's a faith in process, of course. It will continue to be tried and will continue to be formed. I'm ever grateful for the companionship of you all, and also those who down through the ages have asserted their hope that death is not the end of the story, that we are all part of a great love which will never let us go, a source we come from and that one day we will return to. The Christian mystic Meister Eckhart put it this way. He said, "God is at home. We are in the far country." The English poet William Wordsworth wrote something similar. "Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, has had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home." This is my faith and my hope too, and I need it for the living of these days. And I wonder about you, whether you call that mystery by any name or none. I wonder, can you open yourself to it? Can you consider the possibility that there is more to life than meets the eye? I love the seasons of the year we get here in New England, and the seasons of the church year too. These times of light and of darkness, times for joy and for sorrow, this ever-rolling reminder that to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And being part of this dance, the seasons going round and round, and people coming in and out of life, I am convinced that death is not the end, that we are part of a love so great that it will hold us forever, that life is change and loss and letting go, yes, and also being found and touching joy and going home, that we have nothing to fear. I often call that great love by the name God. It's a pretty common name for the holy, but you can call it whatever you want. The other night, I had dinner, an impromptu dinner, with the Crowell family, Bo and Dawn and Griffin and Grayson. And right before we ate, we were sitting around the table, and I think Bo and Dawn kind of turned toward Griffin, who's 5, and he offered the blessing. And he said, with great enthusiasm, I'm not going to even be able to do it justice, but I'll try. He said, "Thank you, Spirit of Life." Kind of like that? Yeah. He didn't have a microphone, but... And I loved that so much, and I thought, shouldn't we all be going around the world like that? Thank you, Spirit of Life. I recommend it. There are other helpful words, too. There's some older words, which for thousands of years have been a comfort to those facing death and loss. And there are many translations and improvisations of the 23rd Psalm, but the King James Version is hard to beat. Join me if you wish. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Death will come to each of us and to those we love, but we don't need to be afraid. For in the shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death, we don't walk alone. We have one another, and we have God, the very source and spirit of life, who promises to be with us all the day long and when the evening comes. Jane Kenyon and her husband, Donald Hall, both of them poets, were both living with cancer when Jane wrote the poem you heard this morning, "Let Evening Come." Let it come as it will, and don't be afraid. God does not leave us comfortless. So let evening come. May the love that comforts and abides, the love that is stronger even than death, be with us now and forevermore. Amen.